Welcome to the Subject Composition and Light Photography Podcast. Show notes, links, and contact details can be found at robnunphoto.com. That's www.robnunphoto.com. SCL is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network, and loads of other great tech podcasts can be found over at www.techpodcast.com. Now on with the show. Good evening and welcome to SCL, Subject Composition and Light Photography Podcast. This is show 114 for the 20th of September 2010. Again, we're a little bit late into the stream this week. My apologies. I'm recording this on Monday night rather than the normal Sunday, but we've been really busy down at the allotment yesterday doing lots of digging and building beds. Built a shed on Saturday. That was quite fun. For people who aren't in the UK, an allotment is like a small holding, I guess. And in every town, the local council will have an area put aside where the local people who live there can say, "Right, can I have an allotment, please?" And you get this small holding where you can grow fruit and vegetables and that sort of stuff. And Suzanne's wanted one for a long time. We've been on the waiting list for about 9 months, I think, to get hold of one. We finally got hold of one, but you tend to get one because somebody else has obviously vacated it, but it takes the council several months to decide to either get rid of somebody or for somebody maybe who's thinking that they've got an allotment and they're going to do it up. But you know, if you don't touch them for several months, they get really overgrown and there's weeds everywhere, and this is the situation our one was in. We've cleared a lot of it down now. I went and got a shed for £20 from a guy in Southampton, which is about 17 miles away, a nice metal shed, but unfortunately it was in bits. So it was just a pile of slats and screws. I didn't have any instructions, so it took me all day on Saturday. But we got it all up, and it's quite an impressive shed now. Actually, this metal shed, because when you're down at the allotments, if you want to get out of the allotments and have a cup of tea, or if it starts raining, you can pop in there. But anyway, we've been busy doing that. I thought what I'd talk about this evening, or during the day, for listening to it during the day, is an idea that's been rolling around in my head for the last few weeks, and you've probably heard of it before, but it's the idea of one camera, one lens, one project. So that is, if you had to choose one camera with one lens and one project to do for the rest of your life or the foreseeable future, what would it be? So you've got to choose a camera and a lens combination that's your go-to camera. It's the one you use for family events, holidays, projects, shooting sports, journalism, news, when you go on photo walks, everything you've got to do with this one camera. And you're only allowed to have one lens with that camera as well. And also, one project. Now, if you had to work on one thing for the rest of your life, what would it be? And I thought, what I'd do is probably talk about some of the cameras I've got. Not really bothered about whether it's film or digital, with the idea of sort of funneling down to getting this one camera, one lens, one project idea clear in my head. Because as I'll talk about nearer the end of the podcast, it's been, how can I put it, I feel like I need a simplification in my photography. I think, we've all covered a lot of ground in the last 2 years, and maybe it's because recently things have got a little bit more complicated in terms of, the sheer amount of gear that I've got. I've got loads and loads of cameras, film cameras, digital cameras, my mobile phone camera, and it's like all this stuff is kind of getting in the way of me getting out and enjoying taking photographs. So it seems like I'm spending more time thinking about what camera to shoot with than actually just going out and doing it. So I thought this might be quite an interesting process to go through. So first off, the Polaroid cameras I've got, the actual Polaroids, or the Fujifilm Instax cameras I've got, especially the Fujifilm Instax Mini, which is the one I've got with the film. So could that be my one camera for the rest of my life? And although they're great, and they're great for family events, and they're great for taking informal portraits really, really close, they're not that fantastic outside, and they're quite big. Even the Instax Mini is quite a big camera, and the film is quite expensive. So although I think instant photography is a brilliant photographic experience, I don't think out of the cameras I've got, one of the Polaroids or the Fujifilm Instaxes would be something that I'd want to shoot with for the rest of my life. One that really catches my eye, actually, that I think I could do, would be the Minolta SRT 101 35mm film SLR. You know, the one I got years ago, must be almost 2 years ago, which was the first camera that sort of turned me onto SLR photography, single lens reflex. The SRT 101 is this Minolta camera from the 1970s. It's built almost like a solid piece of aluminium, and I got it from the car boot sale for about a fiver, and it just so happens to have a beautiful 50mm f1.4 lens on the front of it. So it's an incredibly fast lens. You can use it in low light conditions. It produces this great out of focus bokeh in the background, and it's definitely a real contender. In fact, any of the 35mm film manual focus cameras, like the Praktikas and the Fujichromes I've got as well, are up there. But I think the difference with the Minolta SRT 101 is that lens that I could put the 1.4 on it, and I think, you know, I could really shoot for that. Would cover most situations, really. Low light. It's a great camera to use, because, you know, film cameras, they feel, they're mechanical. It does have a little light meter in it, but everything else is done mechanically by clockwork. The only downside to the SRT 101 is its bulk, and it's quite heavy. And obviously the 50mm, you know, it would be nice to have a zoom, so I don't know, maybe. On the sort of idea of film SLRs, one that I would definitely consider would be something like the 50E, the Canon EOS 50E, which is a fully automatic semi-professional film SLR, 35mm film. And one lens I could stick on the 50E would be my 50mm 1.8 Canon lens, because that is a very nice combination indeed. You may or may not know, but most digital SLRs, the consumer grade ones, they're all what we call a crop sensor. So it means the sensor inside that makes the photograph is actually smaller than a 35mm film negative. So what that means is when you're taking photographs with a crop sensor camera, like my 350D or 400, 450D or whatever, Nikon D60, etc., the lens, if you're using a 50mm lens, actually isn't exactly the same as a 50mm lens would be on a film camera or a full frame digital DSLR. It's actually a little bit more telephoto, but when you put that 50mm lens on the 50E, you get the full frame glory of it. So you're getting that perspective, and that really is a very nice camera to use. Disadvantage with it is that it's very big. You know, it's a huge SLR. So I don't know if I'd want to be lugging that around with me all the time. You can't put it in your pocket. I could go for my 350D Digital Rebel XT, my current DSLR, which is a fantastic camera. But the problem I've got when I've been thinking about that is, what lens would I go for? The 50mm 1.8, although it's fast and light, it's a little bit telephoto because the 350D is a crop sensor camera. The 28 2.8, again, that's okay, but it's not quite the same, even though it should be when you take into account the conversion factors. The 28 on the 350D isn't as nice as the 50 on the 50E. I don't know why it is. I think if I was going to go with the 350D, I'd probably go with a 28 to 80mm zoom that I took on holiday to the Isle of Wight with us, because although it wasn't the best lens in the world, it wasn't that fast, it was a great walk around lens, and it has a nice focal length from 28 to 80, so from quite wide angle, well not really, from slightly wide angle on the crop sensor body to telephoto. I mean, you could argue that the camera on my phone is the camera I could lose for the rest of my life, but that's a bit of a cop out, and to be honest, I'll probably be changing my phone every couple of years, so that one doesn't count. Going back to 35mm film cameras, because I seem to be sort of circling the 35mm film cameras, something like the Kodak Retinet maybe that I talked about a few weeks ago and shot some rolls of film in. That's a fully manual viewfinder type camera. Uses zone focusing, you know, where you look down on the lens and it has like a picture of a person's head and that gives you close, and then you turn it to a picture of two people's bodies and you work out basically your focus by estimating distance. And it takes great photos, but I think the problem with the Retinet is it's just too big for what it is. If it was a lot smaller, then maybe, but it's just too big. I think one of the most perfect cameras that you could shoot for, you know, forever is something like the Fujifilm S500, the one that I've sort of learned photography with again. It's a super zoom, it's got a huge focal range from really, really wide angle and macro, super macro right up to then through to 10 times telephoto. Great picture quality. But however, the Fujifilm S5700, try saying that when you've had a few beers, it's Suzanne's now, and one of us did drop it, I can't remember if it was me or her, a while ago, and all the lugs have snapped off on the battery compartment, so it's kind of held together with elastic bands. The other thing about the S5700 is a little bit, well, it's not really bulky, it's just an odd shape, it's almost like a cube, so it doesn't fit in your pocket very well, but yeah. But it's a beautiful, super zoom compact camera. So I might go for that one. So we're kind of coming back again to the 35mm film cameras. I don't know why this is. It could be because I'm kind of almost getting tired of Photoshop. I don't know. Does that make sense? I'm getting tired of post-processing. I'm enjoying not worrying about post-processing. Now, I know this is a false thing to sort of enjoy, because with film, there is post-processing, and when you get your film developed by a lab, they do the post-processing automatically for you. And when you develop your own film, your post-processing is whatever you do, you know, scanning it and all this sort of stuff. But I think some of it came from going onto the Isle of Wight and taking so many photographs and having to go through them afterwards. It took me quite a while. I've kind of got to the point where I think that kind of burnt me out for post-processing for a while. And I think maybe I need to step back. And I think that's why the appeal of just these little 35mm film cameras is really good. So something like the Olympus, the Epic, or the Mew 2, as it's called, which I picked up a couple of weeks ago, and I've just come into the end of the roll of film, actually, on that one. Fantastic little compact camera. What I really like about this camera is the size. It's tiny, it fits in your pocket. It's got this very, very sharp 35mm 2.8 lens on. So it's fixed focal, but you know you're going to get sharp photographs out of it. And it's fast, it's 2.8. You can force it not to use the flash, and it's going to work in most light conditions. And I really, really like that camera. Disadvantage with it, I don't know, aside the fact that it uses a generic battery, that's probably about it, actually. Now, the other camera that I've been shooting an awful lot with, because I just take it with me everywhere, down the allotment and wherever we go, I've got this tucked into my coat pocket. You know, I don't even bother with a lens cap on it. Is this Olympus Trip 35? Now, what is it about this camera that I really enjoy? I think it's just the fact that it's fully automatic with no batteries. That sounds weird, doesn't it? You know, why should that appeal to me? Well, basically, you just put it into automatic mode, just A, because it only has two modes, really, automatic or flash mode. Put it into A, However far your person is away, you just put it to 1, 1.5, 3 or infinity, or you can look on the bottom of the because there's a viewfinder, so you're estimating distance again. And then the little solar cells on the front of the camera, they set the exposure, and it has two shutter speeds. It has 40th or 200th, I think, and it'll choose one of those, and then it'll set the aperture accordingly. And then you take your photograph, and that's it. You do have to set the ASA or ISO of the film as well on the front of the camera, and you could use that for exposure compensation as well, if you wanted to. But it's really nice. It's metal. It seems fairly bulletproof. And I'm just enjoying taking photographs with it. I guess to this question about one camera, one lens, there's no real answer, because it's all just about getting us thinking. It's all really boils down to what type of photography we do or what we enjoy doing. And I guess with me, I kind of discovered that more and more of that type of photography has been spending time photographing my family. I'm not talking about formal things, you know, all right, let's sit down and take a family portrait. It's more to do with, you know, just taking snapshots when we're out and about, thinking about them, trying to compose them and produce nice photographs and putting into practice all the things I've learned over the last few years. But I find that with these little 35mm film cameras, there's a lot less pushback, if you like, against them. Like, because, you know, if I get the big 350D out or a digital camera, you take a picture and they want to see what's on the back and all this stuff, and they want to review them, and they'll say, oh, that's a bit naff, delete that one or whatever. But with the film ones, there's no argument. You know, you take the picture and they don't know what you took a picture of. And it's forgotten immediately, and it just seems like more fun. The SLRs are too big. And I think the other thing is, why I like the Trip 35, I guess, is because the little Mew, or any of the autofocus cameras, the autofocus can be a little bit slow. Whereas with the ones that are manual focus, like the SRT-101 I talked about, the 35mm, or the Olympus Trip, it's instant. You know, as soon as you've wound the film on, you can take a photograph straight away. There's no waiting for the autofocus to do its thing. And I think I'm just really enjoying composing and shooting, and not really worrying about much else, even not worrying about things like depth of field or stuff like that. All I've really been worrying about is, you know, getting close enough, putting a little bit of concentration on what might be in focus, and then taking the shot and then moving on. Because I think that, you know, the reason why I'm moving towards the simplicity at the moment is because life is complicated enough, and maybe I need to, for the time being anyway, feel that I need to cut through to the source of what I love about photography the most and explore that for a while. Because, you know, with modern cameras, you know, with modern software, you can get perfect exposures. You can use HDR to bring out all the detail and all the texture in your subject. You can retouch things and change photographs so they look beautiful. And all this power is at our fingertips with modern cameras and modern software. And the state of photography today is you can take the most amazing photographs. The equipment we have is the best since the beginning of the art back in the 1840s. But maybe it also means that we want, or I want, you know, maybe something different as well. You know, something closer to... lots of people say that good photographs are simple, are simplifications of an idea or a scene or something like that. And maybe with these simpler cameras and simpler techniques, you can better get to that idea of a simplified scene. Because when we look out at a scene, say one of the photographs I take a lot of, say Spinnaker Tower down at Portsmouth Harbour, the big sort of tower that's shaped a bit like a yacht sail. The things that make that interesting tend to be when I simplify it, so when it's in black and white, or I simplify it by increasing the contrast so there's less detail because there's more blacks and more whites. And I think that's what I'm trying to get at with these small cameras. I just want something simpler, more pure, not as complicated for a while. Now, projects is another area of this, because I think I kind of got a bit worried and over-faced recently about having to finish projects and do all this stuff. And you think, mate, if you're going to have one project for the rest of your life, what could it be? I mean, it could be anything, couldn't it? It could be taking a photograph of all the churches or all the pubs in your local town, something like that. But I think I'm going to be turning away from saying, right, I'm going to be doing these projects for the time being. I think what I'm going to be doing is I'm just going to have my camera with me, and I'm just going to have... just going to take photographs of what happens while I'm living my life with my family, rather than going out to try and find photographs or to take on new projects. You know, I'm going to be out with my camera, we're going to be doing whatever we're doing, visiting places, doing all this stuff. I'll have my camera with me and I'm going to take shots of us and our environment, but I'm probably not going to say, well, actually, I'm going to do another project on historical buildings in Portsmouth or something like that. I'm just... you know, I want simplicity for a while. So there we go. I think I'm going to be shooting with my Olympus Trip 35 for a while. I've got enough film. I've got about 15 rolls of film to get through. So there we are. Hopefully that's given you food for thought. One camera. One lens. One project. One life. I'll see you all on Flickr.